gold-plated diapers.
Hey, Jellyheads, welcome to another episode of Flap Doodle Forum with your host, Lucas Wilson,
Matt Buckley,
and your guest host,
David Halston.
Yes.
I'm back.
This is the show where we discuss the strange occurrences in society and culture
and provide our insights and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to the show. Hey guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's good to have Dave on the show.
Yeah.
This first is time first in time. Psycho Jellyfish history, we've had the three of us together.
Three of us together.
Yeah. I mean, epic moment.
You were on like three episodes ago there, Dave, right?
Ooh, it feels like longer than that, but I guess only three.
I think it was
because
three
you guys
ago.
Do this every other week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We do it every other week, so.
It was just you and Lucas, Dave.
Yeah, we had some good talks about ghostly ferrets.
Always a good conversation
mongoose.
Topic.
I would like to, before we start, correct something.
Really?
Our last episode.
Oh, yeah. There's a follow-up.
A follow-up. Okay, just before we get people sending us angry hate mail, telling us that's not true. It turns out there is nobody looking for a female to bear a Neanderthal clone. It was
a huge disappointment.
It was a miss... translation in like a German paper
right.
Where he
so I'm guessing
said,
what
like,
you mean is they already found one.
No, what happened was the doctor said in an interview if it happened they would need to find somebody willing to do that,
so his quote was taken out of context.
It was taken out of context and mistranslated to sound like I'm looking for a female to bear a Neanderthal. So
well, if you think about it, what he said was true. A female would have to be pretty adventurous to, you know, try to give birth to a Neanderthal.
Yeah, he just wasn't looking for one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so first up is Matt Buckley with his
story.
Yeah.
I'm going first. All right. So my story is taken from smh.com.au. It is called Entrepreneur Chen Guangbao Sells Canned Air to Make a Point About Toll on Environment. So this entrepreneur in China is actually selling cans of fresh air to make a point that the air pollution in China has gotten so bad that they actually need to sell fresh air to people.
Like in Spaceballs?
I guess.
Yes! I was just about to say Spaceballs!
I guess this was also in like a movie, The Lorax or something. There was a lot of commenters springing that up. I don't know if either of you guys
have seen
that.
Oh yeah, I guess in The Lorax they live in like a dome and they sell fresh air. You know, like you pay like an air... Like you're paying your bill to the electric company, you pay it to the
okay.
air company.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Anyway, he's selling fresh air in soft drink cans, similar to bottled drinking water. And this is because North China is choking in toxic smog.
Are people buying it?
Doesn't really say. But it says the concentration of airborne PM2.5 particulates went off the chart in the early hours of the morning for the second hour of the the second time this month, according to the pollution gauge at the American Embassy in Beijing. So basically, the levels are 20 times what the World Health Organization air quality standard is. So it's pretty hazardous.
Ow.
This guy, entrepreneur, his value is worth like $740 million, and he sells his cans of air for 5 yuan each. So I don't know if you guys are familiar
five
with the
yuan.
Conversion rate for American dollars to Chinese.
I'm pretty sure American is worth more because China artificially devalues their currency.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But this canned air comes in several different varieties. We've got pristine Tibet, post-industrial
flavors?
Taiwan, and revolutionary Yan'an. So you can get your fresh air in the way of your choosing.
Now, where does he get this air? Does he, like, go to Tibet and, like, pump it out of the sky?
Yeah, he just brings a giant jug and he, you know, runs around with it collecting the air and then caps it up.
Wait a minute. Wasn't there a commercial that aired, like, during a past Super Bowl of some kid holding, like, a can, a jar?
I think I do remember that.
Mountain or hill, canning it, bringing it home, and then it blows out the candles and, like, sends... tornado in the room or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
That does sound familiar.
I remember they played for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a long version, a short version.
But see, with this canned air, I don't think you can actually breathe it.
Why not, man? Why not?
You're just going to stick your face in the jar and inhale?
It might actually work better if you didn't like pop the top, because then the air would just... Like maybe if you like, you know, quickly popped it with like a pen in the side and then like sucked it out of the side.
You'd have to get pretty creative.
So it's
like, what if you had like a screw-on nozzle thing, and so it was like hooking up to an oxygen tank?
Yeah, you could do that.
I don't know how you'd have to like.
I don't know how long one little can would last you, but
it's like, oh, yeah, take those with you when you're diving. It's like, what if you took, you know, those they sold, it was an As Seen on TV product where you snap on like a screw cap top, like for like a plastic bottle. You could snap it onto the top of a Herblurgadurga, a can, and it turns, you know, then you can keep it fresh longer. But you do that, and then you like on the top of that, you set up this apparatus with the line, and then you could have like a breathing mask.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Or he could sell separately like these inhaler things that you just kind of screw the cans into and then breathe through it.
Yeah, instead of, your inhaler, you got just fresh O2, man.
And one thing the story doesn't really mention, which I was interested in, is if people are actually buying these, like you guys said.
Do you think people are?
I mean, I throw it a few dollars for the novelty value.
I would probably get it, but I wouldn't, like, open it. I'd just keep it on a shelf or something.
Yeah.
Maybe as decoration.
Right.
Like, oh, this
emergencies.
Is fresh Tibetan air right here.
Yeah, it'd be funny, you had, like, it's all the Chinese characters and stuff, and it's like...
Somebody, like, starts an air collection.
That would be pretty funny. Rival with the pirate across the street who's got his jar of dirt.
What if, man, what if, like, this, just sadly, like with bottled water, how kind of that's a ripoff.
Yeah.
And kind of stupid. People start in China, like, actually buying.
So it was like an overblown craze kind of thing?
And then it just becomes a normal thing in China to be buying cans of air.
Could happen.
Weird. And next, canned fire.
That's pretty much the only other thing they can sell.
What are your thoughts, Dave? Come on, man.
By you just main said canned fire. Spaceballs did it.
But yeah, I just found that interesting, so I wanted to share it with you guys.
All right, yeah. Well, that was certainly interesting, man.
Anything can be a commodity.
Bit of an abstract concept there. But this is supposed to be like, I guess I'm going to use the word activist. He's like making a political point with this.
Right. He's delivering a message.
Maybe it'll work.
How does he do it, though? How do you...
I don't know. The article isn't very descriptive.
It's certainly an innovative approach to sending a political message.
Next topic!
I got this more for like the visual thing. All right. Grave interruption building around a tomb in China. We've getting a lot of talk. Have you noticed that a lot of the articles we get is about like some ridiculous thing going on in China?
Yeah. China's coming up a lot.
Yeah. But this is just a series of images that I found. Well, developers bought a cemetery and paid villagers to relocate the remains of their loved ones, all except one. The grave has not been moved as the family is waiting for an auspicious date to do so, and a reason from the developer for choosing the site, according to the owner of the tomb. The developers are now offering to pay nearly $160,000 to have it moved. More than that building.
Wow.
That, yeah, that was like $20,000 they were offering?
Yeah, $20,000 or $30,000.
Yeah. The building is scheduled to be completed by April 2013, but for now, construction continues around the gravesite. Last week, a home in, there it is, Xinjiang province that had
it's
been
the same
sitting
thing.
In the middle of the road, newly built highway, as the owners held out for more money. Yeah, because I found this article like a while ago, I just had it in my list of
that
possibilities.
That is awesome.
But you look at these images, it's this mound of dirt, like 2 stories tall, in the middle of this construction site.
That is crazy.
And eerily, in the middle of it, is this one single grave. And like, you know that there's like a dead person, like just entombed right there. And I always found
I say keep it.
I always found like, like Asian gravestones, like really eerie because they're always like this really flat black. Kind of reminds me of that tower in Pokemon.
Oh.
With all the dead Pokemon buried
what
in it.
What was the name of that tower?
That actually creeped me out when I was
in
a
Lavender
kid.
Yeah,
I was
too.
I don't want to be here.
Yeah, super creepy music.
And the music definitely.
That's what got me for sure.
Scared the crap out of my 8-year-old self.
But yeah, we'll definitely have a link in the description on the website for people to take a look at. But it is actually a really creepy, out of place site. That's why I like picking.
So does it say what the date is that they want to hold out for?
No, it's just an auspicious date. It says auspicious. So it's just
auspicious.
So it's like they just got an arbitrary, they're like, you know, as if they're
like,
waiting.
We're just
going
to
like,
wait around until the right date.
Yeah, maybe like there's like this date that was important to this individual that's buried there. It's kind of weird. If you look at the images, it's almost like it could almost barely be poking out. Like it's they're only just a few feet away from possibly like the grave.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how they're
handling. What are they building around it?
It's like a skyscraper. It looks like a apartment or something.
I say keep it and just leave that grave in the basement of this building.
Oh, that would be so eerie if like there was, if it was like walled off.
I think it
stuff.
Adds a nice touch.
Oh man, that'd be so eerie. This building would be haunted for sure. Oh man.
It's not even finished building yet and it's haunted.
The spirit of that person would not be pleased.
Would you
be
want
like,
to have
hey, you ruined my view.
Do you want to have a building built around your grave like this?
I don't know.
Would you go on haunting that building, Matt, if it happened?
For fun, yeah. You know what I'm getting from these stories? I think developers in China really need to get their infrastructure planning down better. Because they seem to, like, draw plans for these things without securing the land first.
Yeah.
Like, the highway and now this.
Yeah.
And then they just get caught in these
they
weird
also
situations.
Have, they also have these... Entire cities built and no one living in them.
What?
What? That's a story.
I've come across a few times. I should have saved one of them, but
why is nobody living in them?
Because they don't have people to live in them.
Come again?
They're building faster than they can fill these buildings. That's what's going on. It's because they want the economy just to keep chugging and chugging and chugging and chugging. And essentially, they're probably going to end up running into their own real estate bust because they won't stop building because it's just creating jobs and pumping the economy, yada, yada, yada. They're anticipating that a growing middle class
will eventually... So they're producing without need.
Yeah, but they anticipate that a growing middle class will fill these cities at some point. And there are people who bought property here but don't live there because they're anticipating people to move in there so they can sell it.
But if their economy stops growing, then they basically have these ghost towns just lying around.
They would. They would. So I feel that might be a bad thing.
That's a terrible thing to do.
It would be, like, weird because the ghost towns wouldn't be, like, run down and dilapidated. They'd be, like, brand new and shiny.
Yeah, they are. It's kind of weird seeing these like, modern, like...
That's creepier than an old, you know, dilapidated ghost town because it's like, you know, it's interesting. You go into, like, a rundown, abandoned town, and it's like, okay, people live here, and you get a sense of their lifestyle, and then whatever was feeding that town, dried up, went out of business, they ran out of it, and everyone left.
Yeah.
But this is like...
No one ever showed up.
Right.
It's eerie in that aspect.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. I wouldn't mind, like, taking a walk around and being like, ooh, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's creepier that they never had... I'm going to put it in somewhat poetic terms, but they never had life in them at all.
Yeah. Well, we just see if they ever do fill them or if they just keep building these ghost cities.
Why don't they just start building pyramids? Seriously.
Yeah, then they can...
And that,
build monuments everywhere.
This is a pyramid. You already have a body. Just build the temple around it. And whoever that guy is makes a lame excuse to worship him.
I think I heard in like Hong Kong or one of the other Chinese cities, they're going to create like the city within a city. Like essentially this gigantic complex that houses all these people.
Skyscraper thing? It was basically like
a well, it's supposed to like, house like 50,000 people or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they can't expand onto any more land. They're basically going to create this humongous building jutting out.
Man, this is just... They got too many people over there.
Hasn't their population kind of flatlined, though?
I don't know. I know Japan's is, like, going backwards.
A lot of Europe is, too, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. I think I heard U.S. population is slowing down, too. Actually, you know, there's been talk about, we'll hit, by 2050, we'll hit 10 billion people. Mm-hmm. But I think that U.N. estimates are that the population will start stabilizing at that point.
Which is good, because we're kind of expanding beyond our means right now.
Yeah. I mean, we still have lots of space in the United States.
Oh, yeah. But in terms
Europe
of, like, resources
run
and
out
stuff.
Of space.
Yeah, but instead of building empty skyscrapers in that space, it's like, look at the beautiful land we enjoy. National parks and stuff.
Yeah, man. Got the largest one here, right here in New York.
Which one's that?
I think it's the Adirondack State Parks. Go Dax. They can fit five of the largest national parks.
I didn't know there were national parks.
In there?
Yeah, I've camped there several times.
Yeah, you could fit several Yellowstones in the Adirondacks.
Wow. Totally.
Go Dax.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how like people, like, you know, you tell them they're from... If somebody who's not familiar with New York State, you tell them they're from New York, and they immediately think that like all of New York is like New York City.
Yeah.
When most of it is just an empty forest.
A lot of it's undeveloped.
Mostly an empty forest.
And a lot of farmland. Okay, well, that's all I got.
Next topic!
Oh boy. Well, I'm going to take you guys back to France in 1727. And it's also, it's this one takes place over a period of time, so it goes into the 1730s.
Okay.
I'm ready to be blown away.
Bit of a disclaimer, this does involve sort of a religious miracle, but the story is not about that miracle. It's like about this cult that started because of the miracle.
Okay.
And how that devolved into something that didn't have anything to do with spiritual worship at all.
Okay.
So,
let's hear it.
Okay, this is the miracle of Saint Maynard. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I'm
Maynard.
American.
I don't think of that in tow truck
from Cars.
Saint Maynard Church in Paris. For what?
No, don't worry. No, just keep going. Keep going.
Just keep going. Okay. When the Deacon of Paris, Francis de Paris, died in May 1727, great swathes of mourners attended his funeral. The congregation was sorrowful, for Francis was only 37, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, kid goes up to the guy's tomb. He's a crippled kid. He starts having convulsions, and when they stop, he's cured, and he's like running around, jumping.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So that brings a lot of people start going there for miracle cures, right?
Right.
Yes. The event was the beginning of an extensive range of miracles that happened over a 5-year period and originated at the churchyard of Saint Maynard. What is most remarkable about this series of unexplained incidents is the complete and yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's like saying, it's like this wasn't just the town folk and some, religious officials that witnessed this, but it's like lawyers and doctors and stuff. A range of occupations, yeah. And all came there to witness this. Let's see. And this one guy went there with his buddy, and he was a lawyer. He didn't believe the stories, so his buddy brought him there. And the two men arrived at Saint Maynard the morning of 7th of September 1731. So this had been going on for a little while. And, you know, it doesn't mention here in the story, but when I looked up on Wikipedia, basically a cult was forming at this time. And things were getting worse and worse and further away from anything spiritual. Let's see.
Okay.
I'll get right into the dirt of it. This is, sorry, a long-winded historical context, blah, blah, blah. What these guys saw shocked them. They saw women writhing on the floor, men beating other women with wooden or metal bars.
Okay.
There was even one woman whose nipples were being twisted by metal clamps.
What?
Okay, I'll kind of just say it here. This devolved into like this sadomasochistic orgy stuff going on.
What? Why?
Well, it started with just the convulsions, the writhing around, speaking in tongues. They said one guy floated in air, whatever. And all to cure their diseases. Mainly women, though. And it did get sort of sexual in a churchyard.
Okay.
Did I mention the stories right from France? I mean, but it gets weirder than that. Just listen to this.
You had me at the nipples with the metal clamps.
Mm-hmm. But all the time, the women did not seem to feel pain. In fact, they pleaded for more punishment.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it got weird. They said the treatment cured them of deformities and diseases and stuff. And this cult was like all in like the body is bad. It was sort of their philosophy because the body has diseases and it's, you know, sinful and all this stuff. So they blamed the body for lots of stuff. And so they were punishing the body.
So this basically turned into a sadomasochist orgy.
Like I was saying, and even like the law tried to break this up sometimes.
So wait, do they just keep coming back to this grave?
Yeah, pretty much.
Up into the 30s, right?
Yep.
And then it just died off?
The law broke it up.
Oh, okay.
The church was like, get away. And the law was like, get out of here. It went underground for a while, though.
Wow.
And I read that, and I'm like thinking, you know, maybe, you know, underground cultures. But then I'm like, wait a minute, do they mean literally underground?
Do they dig under the grave and then?
But yeah, it's probably the first one. But
how do you take something like that underground when the thing that you're like worshiping and convulsing over is no longer there?
Right. Well, at that point, all the spiritual stuff had kind of
died,
out,
and then
it
turned into
sadomasochist orgies
sex
for the sake
club.
Of yeah.
Wow.
Did I mention this was in France?
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm an American.
You picked some good ones, Dave. It's
all right, but.
here, I was not expecting that.
My favorite thing is they came across this woman. She was sitting at a table eating something, and when they got closer, they realized she was eating human excrement.
Whoa!
And this was a girl who was like a germaphobe, like clinical germaphobic, that they were trying to cure her of.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, she then started vomiting. Right.
Well, and, I wonder why.
No, but listen to this. It says she was vomiting pure cow's milk.
I'm glad we ended with you, Dave.
This is like the 18th century version of Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh my god. Oh no, man, you went there.
Oh Patches. Man, this totally would have been a YouTube video if they had that back in the 1700s.
It would have been a viral sensation.
Oh, yeah, it would have had its own website.
18th century noblemen would have been trolling each other with it.
Check out this great link, guys.
Apparently there were several books written about the phenomenon going on there at the time.
Is there any, like, scientific theories as to what caused this?
I didn't find them.
How does this not turned up on Cracked yet?
I'm surprised myself.
Some of the other stuff was like, this is the part that creeped me out the most, okay?
You haven't even gotten to that part yet?
No, this is what creeped me out. If people had, like, skin diseases or festering boils or, you know, that kind of stuff, that, you know, they'd have, like, women pray and then start to eat off the disease tissue and leave behind clean skin, apparently.
I was hungry before doing this show.
How those burritos sitting in you then, man?
All I have is a mental image, and it's still very sickening.
Yeah, and these are still called miracles at this point. But it's like it brings up a concept to me. It's like, what if to get like some miracles, you'd have to do like Fear Factor and really disturbing stuff?
Oh, that's a.
Which was kind of what their concept was, you know?
Yeah, you gotta, like, if Fear Factor was a religion.
I haven't seen human excrement on Fear Factor.
Yeah, that's
Has there been
a bit
any
beyond.
Animal excrement? I don't know, there's some
and people
stuff
eating, been... like, diseased tissue off of each other.
Thanks, Dave, for supplying us with this juicy.
I'm just like, I'm gonna
We need to have Dave on the show more often.
I got this out of this book, 100 Strangest Mysteries, written by Matt LeMay, and I think one of the
I
links
might be interested
I sent
in
you is
book.
A website with all this stuff.
I think I have a book like that.
I got this book in, like, high school, and I read it through it, and it's like, UFOs, the Bermuda Triangle, blah, 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 and then I get to that story, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I got Kay gave me this book of it's like 100 mysteries of like the 20th century or something.
I love
that.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I know. You and I back in college used to like stay up to like 1 a.m. just sending each other like
looking up Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, do you see this thing? Oh, this is crazy video.
Yeah, and like we talked about on New Year's, you know, like UFO shows.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
some
there's something
stuff out there.
That you know, it's something in the human psyche that's fascinated by mystery.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, no, we got a thing in common here, guys. We're into the crypto stuff. The fun of it. It's not like we're out there on a Bigfoot hunt.
Mm-hmm. Although I would like to go on one.
They do them in Washington.
You guys,
well, isn't there like supposedly
Texas
a New York
Bigfoot?
Bigfoot?
The what?
The Texas Bigfoot. Bigfoot's different from place to place.
Yeah, of course. You got the Skunk Ape. You got Sasquatch. You got.
But the Texas Bigfoot is like one of the only ones that's classified as being carnivorous and vicious.
Okay. Of course,
and
it's from
also,
Texas.
Yes, and it's also deformed from inbreeding.
That is kind of logical, though. I mean, there wouldn't be like a huge population of Bigfoots out there, so they
right.
have to mate with each other.
It does make a certain kind of sense, and that's where you fall into going, I wonder, and you're absorbed in the mystery.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Texans
might
be onto something.
You make up all the little rules, and that's where you get a whole culture of people who talk about, well, you have the Grays, the Gray aliens. It's like, you know, somebody came up with a theory that, like, got more popular than other theories.
Yeah.
With absolutely no evidence for any of these.
Right.
My favorite ones
like,
are,
like, I could sit here and go, okay, you know what those UFOs are? Those are aliens, but they're not from another planet now. They're from the future. They came to this planet and found a dead civilization, and they traveled back into time.
Yeah.
And it's just as credible as any other theory.
My favorite kind of mystery stuff are like kind of the sea monster type of things. I like those.
Sea monsters always captured my attention more because there's something psychological, like fear of anything underwater.
I know. Yep. But the weird thing is, there's like real crazy freaking animals under that. You know?
What was that one thing? The bloop?
Oh, I think they finally figured out what that was.
Really?
Yeah, I heard about that. I read that. They figured out.
I think they figured out it was like maybe like a glacier shifting or something, or it might have been the plates shifting or something like that. Yeah.
I was hoping it was something organic.
Cthulhu?
Yeah.
Godzilla?
It was nice
speculating?
Yeah, speculating. I was like, oh, man. Cthulhu down there, man.
Cloverfield monster.
Godzilla farted.
Well, guys, looks like we've winded down to the end of the show here. It's been a pretty good one.
That was a good way to end it.
Nice series of clips. Thanks, Dave, for that wonderful, wonderful piece of historical information.
I will be sleeping well tonight.
We'll definitely be getting you on the show more because we've got some good chemistry here. So
I enjoy it. I love this show.
Thanks, Dave.
Become a regular, kind of like
gold-plated.
Almost how like Matt muscled his way into Last Coin.
We got to get everybody involved in everything.
Yeah, all around. Yeah, and now Kay's gonna host an episode of No U-Turns with me when we talked with Jason.
Oh,
yeah. So
and maybe I'll go on No U-Turns one of these days.
Yeah, maybe you will. Cool. Well, I guess thanks, audience, for listening to Flapdoodle Forum. We've been your host, Lucas.
Give him the spiel, Luke.
I was just doing it right now. You're interrupting me as I was saying my name. We're your hosts, Lucas Wilson and
Matt Buckley,
with your guest host
Dave Halstead.
If you enjoyed this show and you want to listen to more, just hop on over to our website at psychojellyfish.com. You can also subscribe and get to regular updates by finding us on iTunes and on Stitcher. If you're a fan of the show and want to let all your friends know, please like us at facebook.com/psychojellyfish and follow us on Twitter so you can get all the latest Psycho Jellyfish updates. If you got any thoughts, words, questions, or comments, or maybe a weird news story you'd like to share with us, send them to email@psychojellyfish.com. It's been a wonderful night, folks. Keep
it's
it psycho.
It's been a blast.
Bye.
Keep it psycho.
Oh, dear Lord.